Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
I'm ready to roll if you guys are.
You are my best thought by day or by night. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. There were a couple of 4-3s in the Premier League. Arsenal beat Chelsea. And Jose Mourinho admitted on TV he wants to find UEFA at Stamford Bridge. Sorry. Didn't know I wasn't meant to touch there.
Get your hand off my knee.
That was a really pleasing noise to listen to, but I don't think the listeners will agree.
No.
They'll jump out of their skins, won't they?
Hey, yeah. Will.
You and your sensitive knees.
I'm behind you!
Robbie Savage.
Robbie Savage there.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a wet mouth!
Pete Donaldson's been in Turkey all weekend.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it immensely. I ate so many kebabs and chestnuts as well. They sell a lot of chestnuts.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, cook them up, don't they?
You can do all
Pete,
that, yeah.
Can you explain to people who aren't working in radio what it means when you say Robbie Savage has got a wet mouth?
He just always sounds like he's sort of... And another thing... He just always sounds like he's got a soggy
mouth. I think
it's
very self-explanatory, isn't it?
But we all have a wet mouth. Ideally.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. If you've not got a wet mouth, you probably want to go to the doctor.
I got a wet nose like a dog.
Yeah, it's true, actually.
Again, probably want to go to the doctor.
That's how we tell whether Pete's going to be all right or not. He's touch his nose.
Yeah.
and it makes a noise.
Windows of the soul. Yeah.
Well, we're glad you didn't stay in Istanbul. It was a fine city.
It's brilliant. I was going to go and see Galatasaray, but I think most Turkish clubs, due to noughties, you've got to have like a card before, and you've got to have your ticket loaded onto a card. And I was like, oh, forget it.
Take a moment to
forget it, Turkey.
Take a moment to think of what you'd have to do to get a Galatasaray stadium band. Pete's probably done it, but I'd like to know what it is.
There's a few countries like that. Hungary and Poland are the same. In Poland, I went to watch, I think it was Wisla Krakow, and you have to get there fairly early because you have to have an ID card made up and all that kind of stuff.
It's what Margaret Thatcher wanted to do in the 80s, of course.
And a lot more she wanted to do
she
as
did.
Well.
We haven't got time for Thatcher on this show today, though.
No, certainly not.
She's not in the running order.
She's gone, but the Premier League is very much still here.
Yeah. It's outlived her.
It very much has. And what a weekend of action, gentlemen. As I said in the intro, a couple of 4-3s. We'll start with Liverpool against Palace. I mentioned on Thursday, would it be a nervy affair? Could Palace cause them problems? And they had them going, Jim. Palace had Liverpool going for a fair amount of that game.
It's a ding-dong, isn't it? We were saying on the last show, it's a regularly very, very entertaining game, and it was great. It was nice to see Liverpool pushed as well.
Mm-hmm. First time Hodgson's lost as a manager of a visiting team at Anfield since he left Liverpool.
It's the first goal that one of his sides has conceded at
Marcus,
Anfield.
Would you like to take some time and enjoy yourself here and tell us all, particularly one of us in the room, but all of us nonetheless.
Who got the first?
Who opened the scoring? Yeah,
it was Andros Townsend. He's got his fourth goal. He's got his fourth goal of the season, which equals his best in a Premier League campaign. Yeah. Pete Donaldson.
Oh, I'd love him to get a cruciate now. I wouldn't. That would be terrible.
So the
I
thing
would.
Is,
yeah, I'll you bloody would.
I'll happily pick up that mantle.
But,
yeah.
But what Pete said actually was that he's not prolific and all the rest of it. So he's fourth in the league equals his best. So that does back up your point. Yeah. But there is a
That's
fair
not the
chunk
bet, though,
but
of
Marcus,
it.
No, it's you and I both know. You there's a reason why. Mm-hmm. I went past Crystal Palace's training ground this morning and saw a Pete Donaldson in a trench coat with a crowbar. We all know what he's up to.
I threatened it.
You better not.
This lasagna.
It was a lovely goal, though.
It was.
What a move from Palace.
It was fantastic.
It wasn't a screamer from 50 yards out. He's got a lot in his locker, hasn't he?
Shut up.
I think you basically, when there's a player like that coming to town, you start a goal down, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
He's got everything. Every type of goal.
Shut up, James.
He's even got the word town in his name.
Absolute nonsense.
He scores all types of goals apart from headers.
That'll be this weekend.
Somehow score an overhead header. It'll flip completely.
It wasn't a game for goalkeepers, was it?
It certainly wasn't.
No,
it
was one in particular.
It was. I have to say, before we move on from, well, we're not focusing so much on Townsend. It was the build up to that goal. The way they passed themselves out of trouble, Palace. I thought, my goodness, look at the English game. That's Roy Hodgson's side. That is.
Yeah. They're a good side, and they press well.
Just shouting over to foreign people watching it in the same room as you. He's one of the worst, he is.
Yeah.
He's actually one of the worst. Imagine what the good ones are like.
Yeah.
Not getting a chance, though, are they?
They're not getting a chance.
If they were called Aladicio, they would.
Yeah.
Yes. Problem is, all these bloody better managers in the way.
Yeah.
That is the trouble, Jim.
Can happen.
39-year-old Julian Speroni, looking every year of his age, made his first appearance since December 2017. It was a shame with that. Was it the third goal that Palace scored?
The first one.
Liverpool scored.
The Salah second goal.
The first one you thought he might do a little bit better, but that was more of a clever finish from Salah. But
the first one, I think was it on the radio, they said, oh, he could have come for it and whatnot. It was a tricky one. I wouldn't blame it. In the same way, I wouldn't blame Sergio Rico in the Fulham goal for not coming for that Winks
goal.
I think that
fullbacks are blamed there, really.
Yeah, but it was poor for that second.
I didn't think Alisson had a great game either, by the way.
No, I didn't think
he could have done better with at least one of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it was interesting because I said my comments on Thursday that actually Liverpool, the first goal was fortuitous. There they took it, fair enough. You scored, and these things happen in football. Obviously, no one's arguing that. And their third goal when Palace equalised was a big error from the goalkeeper and they got the fourth very late on. So, yes, they ground out the result. I think that's what Henderson said. And that is a good sign, of course, for Liverpool. But it was shaky.
Yeah, they pressure teams, though, don't they, Liverpool? So I think they sort of make their own luck in terms of other teams making mistakes against them.
But, Jim,
them.
What they don't want, though, is they don't want at this stage in the season when they're going for the title, they don't want to have to revert back to this, we need to score four goals at home to win a game.
Absolutely.
And I think that I detected a bit of that in some of Klopp's post-match comments, that he's very keen to not go back to that as well, because I don't know if their hearts are going to take it.
You don't want games like that?
No, not at all. No, absolutely not. How sort of over is Christian Benteke's career when Ayew's playing up front on his own and then Wickham comes on ahead of him.
Mm. It's funny with Benteke.
I don't know why they put him on the bench even.
It's been such a drop off, hasn't it, with his yeah. career. He would benefit from a move probably away from England, I think.
Absolutely. Maybe like into a championship team.
You know.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, I think it'd be really effective in the championship. He probably wouldn't want to.
He would be. Take a leaf out of Ryan Barbell's book.
Yeah.
Come roaring back.
Who looked busy, by the way.
He did look busy.
But yeah, it was one of those games for Liverpool. They squeezed it out. It was credit to them for doing so. They're keeping on winning. I mean, their record is incredible. Mm. What did you make of the... So something happened a few weeks ago where there was a talk of a Salah dive, and we didn't cover it on there, but I think because the game came at a funny time, so we didn't cover it. Talk of it again against Palace. What did you guys make of that?
He's very in danger of having a reputation as a diver, and referees will pick up on that. And
yeah, because that was a dive.
Oh, yeah. I think there's
been a few in quick succession.
I think he gets kicked and then he's like, oh, I should have gone down there. I'll do it now.
It's an interesting point, though, isn't it? Because Lacazette could have gone down. We'll come on to that in the build-up to his goal against Chelsea. And how often is it that you see a player get fouled and not go down and actually get the foul? They don't, do they?
No,
so, I mean, this is why
his game is all about low centre of gravity. Yes. Kind of just he gets on with it and stuff, but then I think if he overruns the ball on the rare occasion that he does, he's like, oh, crumbs, I'll just throw him.
I don't think the comparison with Lacazette is really valid in this case, because Lacazette was in a very dangerous position. Yeah, Salah was back to goal over to the side.
I think with Salah, what happens is when you are at home in a game like that, the fans are cheering on and you need something from somewhere and you're going for the title and all the rest of it, you will try and get anything. And Salah's got to be very careful because, like I say, some of these decisions... I mean, look at what happened with Wilfried Zaha. Yeah. Always happening with Wilfried Zaha. I mean, why? Leave him alone.
Yeah.
People chopping him to bits.
It's mad, isn't it?
But there's reasons that obviously people think that if they kick him about, he'll be less effective.
In a way, he's like the Premier League's answer to Messi.
Sort of. But
he gets kicked so much.
That's Andros Townsend, man.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Pete told me.
Do you know what I mean? Like, Messi gets kicked about in every game he plays in. So does Zaha. Uh-huh. And that's like...
So does Hazard.
Yeah, but does he get kicked as much as Zaha?
I don't think anyone does.
I think there are UFC fighters who don't get kicked as much as Zaha.
But the point I was saying is that Zaha got a bit of a reputation as going down easily. And now when he gets hacked around, sometimes the referees don't give it because he has that reputation. Yeah. And Salah has got to be careful that he now doesn't get that reputation, which he will give himself because he goes down far too easily.
On the positive side for Salah, though, I mean, he's having an incredible season.
He is.
16 Premier League goals, 7 assists. So... I mean, he's top of the Premier League scoring charts again.
Yeah, 50 goals already for Liverpool.
Yeah, he's making an incredible contribution to
Feels
them.
Feels like
really
he's
is.
Been here for longer than a season and a half. Well, I mean,
50 Premier League goals. 50 Premier League goals he's reached.
And it's also interesting because maybe a few months ago, people were asking us questions on Twitter or wherever we were about why we think Salah's been quiet and why the front three of Liverpool aren't contributing as much, blah, blah, blah. And you're thinking of different reasons. But now, I mean, they are. I mean, you've got two... at the weekend, and I think Mane and Firmino both scored as well, right? So they're all contributing again. So it really is ominous for the other teams who are trying to challenge them. And just, I mean, 19 wins from 23 games in the Premier League and 3 draws. It's incredible. 60 points after 23 games.
It's different class.
It's mad.
Although they might miss James Milner. Sent off by John Moss, who used to be his PE teacher
this
at
is brilliant.
School.
I love that.
Does he get detention now as well?
Suspension.
He's definitely got a suspension. Yeah.
He does. It's a suspension, but he has to spend it at John Moss's house pumping up footballs.
Yeah. Just writing, I will not kick Wilfried Zaha on a blackboard.
Again, yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it? He'd already got one and then he goes in like that.
Yeah.
But he just walked off as well.
Do you think they were both badly mistimed? Because the second one in particular kind of looked a little bit deliberate, but it's like, why on earth would you make that sort of decision? Milner doesn't seem the sort of player to go in like that. But it was two very clumsy challenges.
Against a player who is extremely quick and nimble.
Liverpool got a little break now as well.
Russia Brad. Yeah, well, Liverpool have got 10-day break because they're not in the FA Cup.
Dubai, is it?
Next weekend. Who knows?
It's Dubai, isn't it? Must
it'll
be sure.
Dubai. Assume it's guaranteed. Dubai. Hashtag my Dubai.
Yeah.
Marbella, maybe.
Hashtag visit Dubai.
Yeah.
Liverpool aren't a Marbella. Not this Liverpool team.
No, they're not.
They're not Leicester La Manga.
I don't think they would be Dubai. I don't think Klopp would...
What do you think he would be?
I don't know.
Trip to the Black Forest, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Bit of Black Forest ghetto. Imagine the Germans like it.
Imagine if we took him over to Germany and they thought, oh, lovely little racks and break this. And who's there to meet him at the airport? Felix McGat.
I thought it was going to be a holiday.
There's only one thing worse than seeing Felix McGat greet you in a new place. Felix McGat standing in front of a mountain
of cheese.
You know what's coming next.
Yeah. Well, by the time they host Leicester on the 30th of January, Manchester City will have played 3 times. One of them will be against Burton Albion. So,
Yeah. That's in the balance, isn't it?
It is. So there we are. Interesting stuff. We're talking to Man City. They obviously dispatched Huddersfield Town 3-0. Easy peasy. Huddersfield Town, they're managerless now. And they're in big trouble. David Wagner left, of course, last week. Shame.
Yeah.
He'll go down in sort of history, I suppose you would say, with Huddersfield. You got them in the Premier League.
Huddistry.
Huddersfield, yeah.
Huddersfield indeed, Peter. Huddersfield indeed.
It is a shame. It's a sad situation for David Wagner and for Huddersfield Town, because I think that had he stuck it out and they got relegated, even if they got relegated badly, I don't think there's a chance they'd have fired him. I think he'd have stayed in the job, and rightly so, because you know, you earned the right to be in that job. So it's only really because he feels like he's had enough and he felt it was getting more and more difficult that he decided to leave. And it was interesting to see a ex-manager who's left of his own accord, but still release a video message at the stadium for the team, which was supposed to happen before the game, but they had technical problems, so it couldn't. They ended up...
during the game?
They did it at half time, yeah. It's a bit weird because you feel like... I didn't actually see or hear the content of it, but, I mean, is that just you... I mean, you quit or are you just doing team talks by big screen now?
Because you're 1-0 down.
Phoning it in.
Yeah.
It's a bit Lion King, isn't it? Like, I mean, speaking from the clouds. I will always be with you. Come on, lads, let's do it for our manager, who's not dead.
Let's do it for Mufasa. But now they're going after the guy who's doing
the
job.
Oh.
Yeah, you're quite. Yeah, but they're going after the guy who's doing the job that David Wagner was doing before he came to Huddersfield.
Yeah, just
reserve team coach of Borussia Dortmund.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Or anyone who looks like him. Yeah. Presumably. Yeah.
That was a fascinating situation.
It was.
Patrick Davidson,
Jake Humphries? No,
Patrick Davidson, Sky Sports. So, I mean, you tell the story, Mark. You probably know.
Yeah, Patrick. I mean, I used to work with Patrick. He's a good lad.
That's not the story.
And I know people.
Pick up that name.
He won't remember.
Contacts. It's just contacts.
He won't remember me. I was just a mere... Anyway, it's not going to be Jake Humphries. BT aren't going to send Jake Humphries up in the crowd.
Tell the damn story, Mark.
It looked a bit like Jake Humphries. See,
you tell the story.
This story. It's all about misidentifying people. I'm misidentifying that man as Jake Humphries.
So ironic.
True enough, eh? We could have a Pete Donaldson looking like managing Huddersfield because a lot
could be anyone.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. He went in the crowd and he thought that he was the chap that they wanted to replace him. He just wasn't. It was Martin from Wakefield or something.
imagine if they just got the bloke had just had a bit about him and went, "Oh, I want my Guy Gorma moment."
Just say it. Yeah, it's me. Yeah.
Yes, me.
That'd be brilliant.
Yeah, do they want me down there? I'll give a half-time team.
You want to interview me about the job? Yeah, no problem. I'll do it. Yeah.
I wasn't expecting this accent. Well,
your English is good, yeah. But Manchester City, they reached 100 goals in all competitions this season during the game, of course. The first side in Europe's top five league to do so, which is pretty decent. Another Opta stat for you. Since losing 2-1 to Leicester City on Boxing Day, Man City have won their last six matches in all competitions by an aggregate score of 27-2.
Yeah.
They mean business, don't they?
Over the blip.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah. So they've well and truly got that behind them now.
Do you think that's the worry for Liverpool, isn't it? Of course, Liverpool know they have to reach perfection.
Because Man City are a little bit, they're just machine-like, aren't they? Whereas
they are.
Liverpool are very emotionally led, and that might, you know, play a part later on.
Man City have a bigger squad.
Yes.
And with Aguero now back, you know, I mean, Jesus is going to be a bit miffed. He scored, seven goals in the last three or something that.
But well, you want that though, don't you? That's perfect.
Of course you do. It's going to be a fascinating next couple of months.
I think so. And I think if we fast forward a couple of months and Liverpool are still 4 points ahead of Man City, so Man City are very much in touch, it then just becomes how much can you deal with that pressure? Because they're going to be breathing in there. They know what it takes to win the Premier League. Mm-hmm. Liverpool haven't won the league for a very long time. As we know, they're desperate to do it. I mean, the thing you chucked out there a second ago, Marcus, about Liverpool having a break and in that time Man City playing three games, that could be vital.
Yep.
Could be vital, as could injuries and stuff like that. Liverpool have got a little bit of a problem at fullback at the moment, haven't they? They've got hardly anyone fit, and now Milner's suspended. Mm-hmm. So it's gonna go on those fine margins, I think.
It certainly is, yeah. But, you know, Klopp has won big titles before, you know, obviously with Dortmund, and they held off Bayern and so on. So he knows.
Yeah, Mourinho rated that, didn't he? Mourinho rated that. That rumor about Mourinho.
What, going to Germany?
There was talk of.
Well, there's talk he might go to Germany now.
Is there? That wasn't what I was going to say.
He's poo-pooed the league before, isn't he?
So there was something happening where, and I forget the detail, but they were announcing or mentioning the great Premier League managers, and apparently Mourinho. The great managers to manage in the Premier League. Managers who were there who were great have done great stuff. And Mourinho apparently took issue with Jurgen Klopp being included. saying that well, the only thing, the only league he's won is a German league, and that's when Bayern Munich were terrible and it shouldn't count and all this other stuff.
Ugh.
He apparently has got a real bee in his bonnet about Klopp.
I do understand that if you're talking about the best managers that have ever operated in the Premier League.
No, I think it's current. It's current.
Oh, well, you're an idiot.
Well, I know that we're going to come on to the...
What? Mourinho's being petty.
Yeah. I know we are going to come on to the insufferable bell end in a bit, but he did also say that he would love to be in a situation like Klopp at Liverpool or Guardiola at Man City in his next job, you know, somewhere he's got a bit of money to spend.
Yes.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Go to China, so he'd just be left alone.
Just go away. Exactly. Before we go to an ad break, let's have a bit of fun. Wolves 4, Leicester 3.
Oh, God,
what a game at the morning. Yeah. That's the stuff, isn't it?
And what a contrast to the previous 4-3 as well. Yeah. This was so much more fun, obviously, because it was a bit more topsy-turvy in terms of the scoreline. But there were so many sort of standout individual performances from that game. Like, obviously, Damari Gray's goal was excellent.
Yeah.
What's his face?
Jota.
Harvey Barnes played very well for Leicester as well. Hotta obviously got a hat-trick.
It's not Hotta, it's Jota. And the reason that's important is because there is a Hotta playing for Birmingham.
Ah.
Diogo Jota is Portuguese, plays for Wolves. Hotta is Spanish, plays for Birmingham. Very important distinction.
Okay, I stand normally
it's
corrected.
Jose Mourinho, not Jose Mourinho. Mm.
Yeah, normally I wouldn't be so, but I would.
Yeah.
You know I would.
Jesus Christ.
But Ryan Bennett as well has been sort of quietly excellent for Wolves this season. He seems to make a sort of important last-ditch tackle in the box in every single game. And it's Neves as well. Like the pass. Oh, it was delicious.
Did you enjoy big Wes Morgan powering in the third?
Oh, yeah.
No Rolling one was stopping that man.
I was in a weird situation where I watched Match of the Day not knowing what the scoreline was here. And I didn't know. I mean, I just did not see Wes Morgan scoring in the 87 minute cover at all. I was like, what, is that a goal? Bloody hell.
He's
it's amazing.
Yeah.
And I really loved how much Damari Gray loved his goal.
Yep.
At 22, pumping his chest. Come on, everyone. Come on. Yeah. Getting people going. Love it.
It was brilliant. It was proper end to end stuff. And Nuno Espirito Santo.
He got carried away, didn't he?
He got sent off after running onto the pitch to celebrate with his players. And he was just like, I've broken the rules. Yeah, no, I deserve to be sent off. Which was nice.
Yeah.
He just accepted it. Whereas some managers would go, it's passion for the game and all that. And it's ridiculous if I can't celebrate. He was just like,
Pete, getting on the pitch in his trainers as well.
Yeah.
He deserves the credit.
He should.
Because
he didn't slip.
As we said with Klopp, if you can get into the centre circle in trainers, on that watered pitch.
You deserve to be there.
Yeah, you deserve to play for 15 minutes.
You've earned the right. You've earned the right.
We spoke about that Klopp celebration at the time, obviously, that's comparable. And since that, I've seen some videos on YouTube of Klopp scoring and celebrating goals. And treat yourself.
Was he running off the pitch?
Oh, pretty much.
Okay.
Like, he's pretty much like running to the moon. Like, it's phenomenal.
It's also quite, is it ironic? I can't decide. Leicester fans annoyed about Corpwell being boring. Well, it's a 4-3 for you there.
Yeah.
It's a 4-3 there.
That is ironic, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's worthy of note, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. Well, Corpwell was very animated throughout the game, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was gutted when the fourth went in and said his team were a bit naive, but there were chances of you getting sacked in the morning after Leicester went 2-0 down.
Who from, though? From his own fans or from Wolves?
No, he was charming it himself.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was from Wolves fans. And He was very animated, more so than I've seen previous times. Perhaps Leicester fans or others will say I'm wrong, but I think he's aware of the situation. Leicester fans unhappy with his sort of pragmatic style.
Their game management there was poor.
It was. Well, that's what Puel said. Mm. I mean, when they've got possession of the ball into injury time and it's 3-3 and you think, maybe we'll just kind of...
Away from home, take a point. Wolves are a good team. Mm.
They are a good side, but Wolves, the way they transitioned that over and broke.
The pass from Neves. It was...
Raul Jimenez squared it to Jota. And but you're right, the pass, it was a brilliant goal.
Yeah, it really, really was.
Worthy of winning a game like that.
They've got a tough run in as well. They've got Liverpool, Man United and Spurs next. And
who's this? Wolves?
Leicester.
Leicester. Well, they'll win then, probably, wouldn't they? They win all three of them.
They will, actually. I find it quite funny that I don't know how familiar you are with Leicester's website, but the homepage.
Not very at all, actually.
Yeah, no. The homepage features Claude Puel with his arms folded, looking absolutely furious in the dugout. It's like, why is that the image that you choose to present to the world?
Welcome to my microsite.
Mm. Apparently, he's quite a strange man, Puel. People find it hard to kind of get on with him and whatnot. Maybe there's a touch of the Ramon Domenech's about him.
Is it?
Maybe he's that strange, is it?
Is the website powered by GeoCities? Remember that, Pete?
Yeah, GeoCities. I remember GeoCities.
PeteDonaldson.geocities.com.
Precursor to Wix.
Is it? No, is that where it came from?
Right? No, no. No, just sends a precursor and you could create your own website.
A little animated GIF.
Spinning, under construction.
Spinning unicorn.
Yeah. Custom pointers if you fancy it with a little glitter trail over the back of it.
The Space Jam website still up there?
The Space Jam,
Was that a GeoCity?
It looks like a GeoCity.
It looks like it was, yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, after the break, we will talk about Arsenal beating Chelsea. See you in a minute.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Stuart put me in the basket. Put me in the basket.
Perhaps more on that later.
Put me in the basket.
All right.
Sounds like
a
Silence of the Lambs.
Some emails with PED.
What the fuck?
Jose Mourinho.
Put him in the basket.
Oh, that was good. A new one.
What the fuck?
Jose Mourinho.
Put him in the basket.
Whoa, I didn't even know you were going to do that.
There it is again.
Yeah, I mean, I've ruined the second half of the show now, haven't I? But with my
doesn't matter. We've rolled the punches, mate.
Doesn't really matter,
this
does
is,
it?
This is like 100 mile an hour, pure radio.
Hello to Amy. Hi, I hope you're having a lovely 2019 so far. My name is Amy Johnson, and I am the marketing manager for a dating website, datebritishguys.com.
Now we're talking.
Our website has been around for 11 years, and we have over 40,000 members. To keep it short and sweet, we're interested in being on your podcast.
What are you
doing? We up for that? No, what do you mean?
There's four British guys, isn't there?
Exactly. Yeah.
But do we have
two
to
of them? Married.
Yeah, we're married.
Are we
Amy's, Amy's interested.
Is this related to your trip to Istanbul or not?
I was about to say, what are you pimping yourself out, essentially?
I'm just saying that Amy's interested.
That's what he's doing.
Amy wants to be a guest.
He's been offered the opportunity to be pimped out and taking it out.
Sorry, Amy wants to be on the podcast to advertise a wonky little website.
Is that what
datingbritishguys.com?
A wonky little website.
Have you been? Is that what you've been?
Muggy little website.
I've been taking meetings.
Is that
Darren in Glasgow. The Cowdenbeath versus Rangers Scottish Cup tie.
Yes,
Marcus. It got postponed due to the corner flag being frozen.
The blue Brazil. The blue Brazil.
Apparently, the entirety of the pitch was fine, apart from the corner flag.
They called it off.
You don't want to slip.
I once went to
Tynecastle
to see Hearts beat the blue Brazil 5-1 in a third round Scottish Cup tie many years ago. Mm. It was glorious. The blue Brazil. Calvin Beath, come on.
Yes. Come on.
Come on.
Do you remember that advert? It was an advert for like the
Take British guys.
There was an advert. Stop it.
You like those British guys, huh?
For the Times a while ago, where the guy, it's like the guy who can't stop going to the football. And he's like a Kilmarnock fan or something.
Right. Uh-huh.
And his wife's getting annoyed with him going.
Mm.
And she's like, I'm paraphrasing, but she's like, look, what are you doing this weekend? And he just turns around and goes, it's the big one. It's Cowdenbeath.
Yeah.
That's what I always think
when
of.
When they met on that, he's
Probably did.
On that British dating thing.
Probably did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Andy Rockall. Hello, Andy. Tottenham will beat Crystal Palace in the fourth round of the FA Cup, but will go out in the next one. This is because of the White Leaf curse. Have you heard of this?
No.
Nope.
White Leaf were kicked out of this season's FA Cup after beating Corinthian Casuals in a first qualifying round replay for fielding an ineligible player.
Right.
Taiwo Odutolo was banned, but he's re-registered under a false name. Hopefully it'll be easier to read out by me. Unbeknownst to White Leaf, Corinthian Casuals were reinstated but went out to St Albans, who went out to Taunton, who went out to Billericay, who went out to Chesterfield, who went out to Grimsby, who went out to Crystal Palace.
It's been passed on every time.
It's been passed on every time. They've gone out every single time. So Tottenham will beat Crystal Palace in the fourth round of the FA Cup, says Andy. Well, we'll see how that
pans
out. Well,
in this case, I hope Portsmouth beat QPR, then get Spurs.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, no, I don't, because then we'll go.
No.
Damn.
No,
like, I don't want that.
Just don't go anywhere near it.
So Spurs will beat Palace, and then Spurs will go out in the next round?
Yeah. So whoever loses to whoever beats them, and then they'll go out.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Of course.
It never ends. Works for me.
Short the footballramble.com if you want to get involved.
Did you read this thing? Last week, there's a couple of teams who possibly are going to be kicked out of their division, sort of National League South type level, because in 2014, the FA issued a directive saying dressing rooms have to be a certain size. Mm. And a couple of teams, the deadline's now coming up, and a couple of teams have said, well, we can't get our dressing rooms to that size. Mm. It's not logistically possible.
The walls don't move.
Yeah. But I think the FA offered them 75% of the total money it would cost to refurbish them.
Yeah.
And the clubs have just done nothing about it. So now a whole load of clubs might go out of their divisions because of that.
Why is it such a strange directive?
It's mad, right? Absolutely mad. I couldn't tell you. Aylesbury's one of them. There's another couple of teams as well.
I presume it's not health and safety directive, because that would be a government.
It's something to do with the amount of people you're allowed in the room, commercial purpose or something like that. Yeah. But if you're listening, show at thefootballramble.com and you know about it, let us know.
Could you not have like a silo organisation and have like tele-networking between the manager's team talk? He could do it from a separate room with a few players, and then kind of like beam it into another room for the rest of the players.
That would be the easy solution. Yeah. Just move them out of the room.
Yeah.
Just come. Just let them. Let
do
them
it on the pitch.
Or maybe a certain amount of players don't change. They just have to sort of play in, playing whatever.
Just don't
they
have
turn
the subs in.
So
there,
you change in the dugout by the pitch. I prefer my footballers to be reared organically.
Free range.
Yeah.
Free range footballers.
That's what it is. We don't want battery.
It's important these days.
Yeah. Crying out loud.
Yeah.
Gordon Bennett. Anyway, let's move on to Arsenal versus Chelsea. All right.
Okay, then fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Change the tune, haven't you?
Yeah.
Careful what you wish for, Dalton.
Apology accepted.
What a climb down.
All right, let's do another 5 minutes of Andros Townsend then.
Arsenal properly contention for top four. How about that, Emery? He knew Chelsea were there for the taking.
And Arsenal, as did Luke Moore.
And Arsenal took them. They played with intensity, Jim, and that was pleasing for you.
Certainly did. I love the combination of goals as well. A stab from Lacazette and a shrug from Koscielny. Stab and a shrug. I'd love to see that.
It's one of the most bizarre. I can't remember ever seeing a centre-back volley across to another centre-back who shoulders it in the net. I mean, it must have happened, but I can't remember.
I was so impressed with Lauren Koscielny. What a difference he makes to Arsenal when he's you know, fit and he's got a run of games under his belt. He was phenomenal. He made interceptions all over the place, and he's one of those players. He makes the players around him better because it's a calm, you know, head.
He's a senior member of the squad.
Absolutely.
And he's got that experience, every moment of it.
Looks like a chicken.
He does look like a chicken and a little bit like a dinosaur.
Which is why they made sure the change room is bigger.
Yeah,
exactly.
Otherwise he might have flashback.
But I mean, I don't want to take anything away. I largely agree with what you said there. I don't want to take anything away from them. But Chelsea were rubbish. Easy to play against.
But you've still got to take them.
Of course you have.
And the difference was Arsenal, in previous seasons, would have drawn that game.
Yeah, and also, I mean, Pedro came very, very close to scoring, and also Marcus Alonso hit the post. So I think Chelsea had a bit of an unlucky day as well, I think it has to be said.
They've got good players, and they're going to create the odd moment.
But it felt like things just weren't going for them. And Arsenal, defensively in the second half, I actually enjoyed that more because they defended well, and they didn't look like conceding, and they were very, very good at just getting players around the ball. That's right. Is, you know, a very, very simple thing if you're going to defend that way, and they did it well.
I think Chelsea are not in big trouble, because that's an overstatement, but they've got a situation there now. They've got a load of problems to solve. They've brought a manager in who creates more problems than he solves because they've got this weird situation where Jorginho's taken a little bit of flack recently, particularly after this game. And I feel like, and obviously you guys might disagree, but I feel like Jorginho's a type of player who's only as good as the other players around him, because his job is to set the tempo and give the ball to those players.
Recycle,
it's like saying, oh, Jorginho's rubbish. It's like saying, well, Busquets wouldn't be as good without Xavi and Iniesta. Well, of course he wouldn't, because he's supplying the bullets, right? He's given them the bullets and they fire them. You've got Kante playing on one side of him, who's playing massively out of position, and you've got Kovacic on the other side, who's done nothing. Mm. He's been so disappointing. And then, of course, I know sometimes they bring Barkley in and he looks probably a little bit more likely. And then coupled with that, they've got Eden Hazard, who on this day is unquestionably the best player in the league, playing a completely ridiculous role for his skill set. So
when they have options on the bench,
exactly.
Better suited.
They're so dogmatic to their system. Sarri's plays are certain. He's never going to change it. We know that. He's never going to change it. So I saw Jonathan Wilson as well say over the weekend that is David Luiz better in a two than he is in a three? Well, he's not, is he? He's a brilliant defender for a three at the back situation, because he gets a lot more time, he gets a lot more freedom to play these passes, he can sweep up, he can pick up the ball in deep areas. He's got hardly any time to do that at the moment because he's playing in the two. So all the stuff, all the players they've got don't fit into how the manager wants to play. So what they've got to do is get rid of the manager, which is preposterous even for Chelsea at this stage, or sign about five new players and get rid of about three old ones. Yeah. It's crazy. Well, three valuable ones as well.
The Higuain situation is a indication of what option they're going for there, isn't it? They're just trying to sort of make it into a Sarri team.
And I don't think enough's been made of how lucky Sarri's been that you've got N'Golo Kante, the type of character he is. Because if N'Golo Kante was a mouthy guy and
if he was Paul Pogba, let's say.
Yeah. I mean, you think he would have just got on with it? He would. He's getting on with it. He's doing an admirable job, but he knows it's not his best position. They've got all sorts of problems there.
Yeah, what do you think of the comments that Sarri made about the mental approach from his players and said they weren't motivated and said going into this game, this feeling was similar to the one that they had against Tottenham when they were soundly beaten at Wembley. He's beginning to dig his team out, or his players out, which is much has been made of this, of course, over the weekend. It is interesting to see how that will go. I mean, he if the players aren't motivated, surely that's part of his job. But I also thought as well, if you're worried about players and their motivation, he's picking largely the same side. Mm. Why not go for, say, a hungry young player who you know has got talent, who maybe you want to stay, but of course wants to leave, you know, because he's not getting game time on the Why don't you flipping well start Hudson-Odoi?
Mm. Do you know what I think?
I find it, if he doesn't start the next game, I think to myself, well, you've got rocks in your head.
Yeah, I agree. I also think if you're going to play someone in the false nine, just put Pedro in there. Mm. Pedro's a good finisher. Chelsea fans said to me the other day, Pedro's the best finisher at the club.
Yeah, he's
decent. Play him at false nine. Play Hazard in his right position.
You want Hazard in his right position, getting the ball and turning. You don't want Hazard with playing in that position where he's going to have a defender or two like properly on it.
Like back to goal. He's just not like exactly. Have him scare players, run at them.
Yeah, totally. You want him picking up the ball deep and going. You don't want him. You want him sort of ghosting between the lines and all that kind of stuff.
And then also, players don't run beyond him either, so it doesn't really work anyway. But on that Sarri thing, remember when Antonio Conte was really critical of his own players in 16-17. And it was the game, it was an Arsenal game as well, wasn't it? Because after that, was it at half time? Was it after that game? He changed the three at the back and they went on to win the league.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, back three, right, yeah.
Sarri isn't going to change to a back three. He's going to stick. What they've done with hiring Sarri is and Sarri's already said this himself, they're committed to playing exactly this type of football until the end of next season. Well, they have, haven't they? Because they've agreed that Sarri ball, in quotes, takes a while to get going. They've agreed that he's always going to stick with this formation. He's always played this formation, as far as I know. He played it every single game last season at Napoli. Is it sustainable? Is that viable? Are they going to be happy coming sixth? Because it looks like at the moment they're going to come sixth.
Yeah, it's a funny one because his teams play good football, and that's what fans want. That's obviously what the owner of Chelsea wants.
They play good football up until about 20 yards from goal.
Sure, but at the start of the season, it was perhaps more through luck than judgment and the quality they had. I just sort of think to myself, like, they need to. I don't know. I would suspect he'd be there until the end of the season. If you've then got to back him. If you believe in Sarri, you've then got to back him and bring in the players that he wants. Well, because the current side at the moment is not responding to what he's doing.
The rumours about Higuain suggest that they are going to do that. And that could make a big difference.
Mm-hmm. He's having his worst season of his career.
Yeah, well.
But he's still got goals
playing
in him,
under
though.
Sarri would you know, potentially.
He's at his best season under Sarri, but he's in a terrible state. I mean, James was saying on the constant that he's not recovered from that penalty miss in that game.
I know,
and,
but...
And he just looks like a shadow of his former self. And to bring him into the Premier League halfway through the season at this stage in his career, I'm sorry, I know he's a talented player. That's a gamble. He's got to go down as a gamble. In January.
Yeah.
You know, it's for me, that's a gamble.
Well, they need to gamble, don't they? They need to mix it up because it's not happening at the moment.
Mm. So what do you think about them not starting Giroud? I think Morata, I can sort of understand that. He seems to be cursed by the same thing.
Well, we just talked
that,
about that, haven't we? With Hazard, we shouldn't be playing there, so therefore you go for Giroud. So that's...
If you want a hold-up man, he's definitely one of the best.
He wouldn't play Milik at Napoli when he needed to. He's got an idea in his mind of the players he wants, and that's the players he likes to work with.
It's a shame because we don't want to be too scathing of Sarri in general. We're talking more of this specific situation. We saw Napoli play; they were great. Was it last season? Last season, you know, and so on. And sorry, he's a good manager and so on, but this is him dogmatically sticking to something.
But I do think there's a difference between running Juventus really close and getting a lot of credit for it and fighting it out in a top six in the Premier League, which is really, really vicious and hard to succeed in.
Very true. Very true.
Can we touch on Bellerin's...
Poor Bellerin, awful. Yeah.
What a horrible video.
Yeah.
You know, awful. I don't like anything... Yeah. Muscular or anything going
so the
twang.
Video is his lateral ligament snapping. If reports are to be believed, he might be out for
and
a
his
really
calf
long time.
Doing a little jiggle. It was awful.
He's made such an impact coming back as well, and he's such a likable player, Bellerin. He's
one high of, fashion you know,
Hector. Absolutely. He's just such a good character.
Good egg.
And he's been out for a while anyway, and it's such a blow to Arsenal, and obviously to him as well. So
yeah, very much
get
so.
Well soon, Hector.
Very much so. Southampton beat Everton. Another win for Hasenhüttl and Southampton, or Ralph Hampton. As the sign says near the ground. Big Ralph said it was the best performance he'd seen from his team since
King
being
Ralph.
At Southampton. He's won 4 out of 8 matches since taking over from Mark Hughesy.
But yeah,
who only managed 3.
I think that's a fair
three or something.
Comment as well. So it's a fair assessment as well because they look like the Southampton of old. They dictated
the
that
Southampton
game.
Of old?
Yeah,
Southampton?
I mean, the Southampton of a few seasons ago, two or three
Harry
seasons
Redknapp
ago.
Southampton?
No. They came like 6th or 7th one season.
Yeah. I know Thank what you're you, saying, Luke. Jim. Yeah. Luke's
didn't think
of
me
for...
banning you out, did
you? Yeah, no, imagine. But yeah, they set the tempo, and that was a problem for Southampton for a long time. They didn't seem to have any ideas.
You're right. He's got them go, and this is proof that they have some decent players in there. You get a coach who motivates, who drills into them. Oi, you're better than this. Get on with it.
And also makes them harder to beat.
Yes, which is what Ranieri's desperately trying to do at Fulham, of course. But that's what he's doing. Now, they have Palace at home, Burnley away, and Cardiff at home next. They are in a good position.
They really are.
They could really put some distance between themselves and the relegation zone.
What did you make of Everton's performance?
Very poor, again. I mean,
they deserve
two wins
that investment.
Well, the thing is...
2 wins in 10 league games.
I find it really curious, the coverage of like Marco Silva compared to the coverage of someone like Eddie Howe. Right, they're exactly the same age.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Marco Silva's 4 months older than Eddie Howe.
And right? Similar position in the league.
Yeah, and people talk about how promising a coach Eddie Howe is all the time. I mean, Eddie Howe, I've got nothing against Eddie Howe, but he can literally take Bournemouth to 8 defeats in a row and no one will say anything. But he's done really well to get there, blah, blah, blah. Mm. Now, because Marco Silva, even though he's at the same stage of his coaching career, because they had pretty similar profiles, you know, difficult playing careers and all the rest of it, because he's at a slightly bigger club and they spent a lot of money before he was there.
They're a lot bigger than Bournemouth.
They are, but they spent a lot of money before he was there and they had problems with Ronald Koeman and then all the rest of it. It's not Marco Silva's fault. I've been critical of Marco Silva because I think he thinks he's managing a bigger club than he is.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a disrespectful thing to say to Everton. He doesn't change his tactics when he's playing against someone good. He's not humble enough. But he's still in the bracket of promising coach. It just seems every time I lose a game, he gets battered. Absolutely battered.
Well, do you think...
And I think, I'll tell you what I think.
All right.
I think it's because Big Sam Allardyce has got so many friends in the media that they want to be biased against someone like Silva who's come along because Allardyce has been, in his own mind, sort of debased and criticised for being a certain type of manager.
He should be doing better at Everton, though.
Well, Everton...
Both of those things can be true.
But how long has he been there,
Jim? Do you think Everton... are currently under or overperforming or where they should be?
I would say under.
And Bournemouth?
I would say Bournemouth are about where you'd expect given the level that Howe has taken them to in the context of Bournemouth in the Premier League. I think they're about where they should be.
So, okay. So that's, you know, I understand your point, but that's obviously speculation about...
I just think Silva, Everton is sat in 11th at the moment. Realistically, they should be looking for 7th this season, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not been there long. Give him a chance. Mm. I mean, it's been an absolute disarray that club.
They've definitely been let down by players like, I don't know, Torsen. How was it? 27, 28 million he came in for? And it's just like, I do think that they are being let down by some very, very decent players underperforming massively.
I mean, should they be putting Tosin or Calvert-Lewin up front instead of Richarlison? I mean, Richarlison, he's not been terrible this season. He's scored a few goals. But
he's fallen away, though, isn't he?
He's fallen away a bit. And often, I think sometimes he's better coming off one of the flanks, actually. Mm. Whereas if you have a proper striker up there like Tosin. I know Calvert-Lewin has played on one of the flanks as well. You could argue that as well. You said earlier there, Luke, about Silva maybe not switching up his tactics a bit. We're expecting Everton, with the players they have and the manager they have, because certainly on this show we think he's got real potential despite what others may say, and I'm sure others do think that as well. I'm expecting Everton to click at some point, and it's just not really happening.
Well, it seems to happen and then it unclicks.
I think they've got to play Richarlison in his best position, whatever that is. He's got 9 Premier League goals this season. I mean, it's a decent return. If he ends up with, you know, double that because of how many games there are left or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great return. I mean, whatever his best position is, I think I agree with you, Mark, is probably open to debate. But they have to go and get the best out of him for sure. But I think Silva just needs a bit of time, that's all.
Yeah, absolutely. All right then, ladies and gentlemen, after the break, we're going to go to the Championship, League 2, and the WhatsApp group. See you.
What the fuck? Jose Mourinho!
Put him in the basket.
Do it.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. The preview show, sponsored by Bet365, will be out on Thursday. Oh, it promises to be a cracker. We need a new better, as Chelsea did not score a penalty against Arsenal.
No. You guys need to step up, listeners.
It was a nice interesting bet.
I thought it was a good bet.
I might put Donny in the chair.
Yeah. I'd have gone for Liverpool to win 4-3.
Yeah.
Obvious, isn't it?
With a red
step
card.
Step it up. Yeah. So call him on in the last minute.
Show at thefootballramble.com with the best bet in the title to have your selection considered.
Absolutely.
Or I might give it to Donny. Who knows?
Championship time. Stoke beat Leeds 2-1. Nathan Jones said he changed up his formation and tactics as he knew Bielsa had studied the way his teams are usually set up.
Yeah. Is that not a mind game on a mind game? It's I've made you jump.
On the other hand, he definitely doesn't know the tactics we're going to employ.
Because neither do I.
Unfortunately, we're not used to them either. So it seems to have worked.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the first time, even of late, that Leeds have lost, of course. But there we are. But talking of Spygate, 11 Championship clubs have written to the Football League demanding an extensive inquiry into Bielsa's spying. I mean, it won't be as extensive as what Bielsa gave them, surely.
Yeah. Grasses. Yeah. Imagine being such a grass.
I wonder what
Norwich 11. City, who are going for automatic promotion as well as Leeds, have been one of the loudest calling for this. Leeds have not broken any laws. But the clubs are suggesting that Leeds should fall foul of the improper conduct rule.
I don't like that.
Just get Delia into the forest behind the training ground. Where are you? Trying to find whoever it is.
Trying to find the ball.
SP Avenue!
For me, it feels like improper conduct is a handy catch-all term for when the FA want to get something they don't like.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's there.
There's nothing in the law, is there, to say that he shouldn't have done that. Yeah, well, no, that he couldn't do that, sorry. Whether he should have done it or not is depending on your own moral compass, I suppose. But it just seems a little bit cheeky to be, oh, yeah. Well, because you know for a fact that it's a huge grey area, right? So if someone offers you information, you know what football's like. Pete sort of touched on it a week or two ago. Players are always visiting, ex-players are visiting here, that contact, everyone knows everyone in football. And if someone happens to have been at the Leeds training ground last week, and knows that his mate is now managing so-and-so planning the week after, why wouldn't he give him information? I mean, is that improper conduct? I mean,
are away dressing rooms checked for bugs regularly?
What, are they swept for bugs?
Are they big enough?
Listen, do you know what I would do if I was the FA? They're not big enough in some cases. What I'd do if I was the FA, I would send a trench coat to every single Championship club.
Who would you put in the trench coat?
They can choose.
It's up to them, yeah.
What about Arne Dezayu?
That's your designated spy.
Yes.
Do what you want.
Dezayu is a detective now, as you've rightly pointed out.
Hire him.
Get him in there.
Yeah, did you hear the story about Trevor Sinclair over the weekend?
No.
So,
is he okay?
He's fine. Trevor Sinclair, at one point, when he was, I believe, Man City, they were playing, I think, Leicester, and he came up to his manager on the team bus and said, "Here you go, boss. Here's the opposition's lineup. We've got a mole in the dressing room." And the manager said, "Oh, Trevor, that's great. And does that mean that you had to give them our lineup?" He's like, "Yes, boss, I did." any guesses as to who the boss was?
Harry.
That was Keegan.
It was Kevin Keegan.
Yeah.
Oh. Nice. I like it. Getting mugged off.
I thought what you were going to say was actually that here's the lineup. And he went, "Oh, I didn't realise he's playing him then. That means you're dropped because we need to kind of cover us. He mugged himself up. Oh, dear.
I would like to see Bielsa in a kind of John McClane kind of situation, hiding in the air ducts in Leeds United.
I would love that.
Checking out the away dressing room.
I couldn't agree more. I would absolutely love that.
All greased up.
Yeah, sat on a little bucket.
Spying through the grill. That's right, in his tracksuit. What about Derby County? They won again on the weekend. Ashley Cole has signed for them till the end of the season.
Getting the band back together.
Yeah, teaming up with Frankie Lampard again. They're sixth, they're going for promotion. I was surprised, actually, that Cole went there. Fair play to him for doing that, by the way. Obviously, an incredible player. But, you know, living in California, he's in his late 30s. Was he 38, I think?
I think so.
I thought to myself, why would you do that? But then it shows he's up for the challenge.
I've never been to Derby or LA.
I've been to both.
Right, which is better?
What are you rating?
I've
opportunities
got no dog
to
in
break
into
Hollywood.
I've never been, so I just, what do you think?
I mean, there's probably more employment opportunities in Los Angeles, as Pete said, with Hollywood.
Derby, Muscle Beach, it's middling at best, I think.
It is true. I would say that you get better fish and chips in Derby, though.
Right. Well,
so maybe he likes the old.
And that is
and
important.
Chips.
It's important to me anyway.
Certainly for a footballer who's looking after himself. Ashley Cole's looked after himself. I think I'm really fascinated about this because he's 30. He's not 34, 35.
I think it's a great move. You know why? Because they've got Jaden Bogle at right back. Derby's 18.
Some young lads, haven't they?
Yeah. And
they would have looked up to Cole.
100%. So how much can he learn? I know he's right back in Ashley Cole.
Look at the stuff you can get away with if you're a successful footballer.
I mean,
he is 18. Will he get an air rifle compared to this?
make sure, get up
that line.
Make sure you got all the permits you need for your firearms.
Hello, I'm England's most capped fullback. Now dance.
Yeah.
Oh dear. So
imagine him introducing himself as that. Hello.
We look forward to it.
I'm England's most capped fullback.
We look forward to it.
How would you reckon Sol Campbell introduced himself?
Well, you mentioned Big Sol.
Steady.
Well, let's go straight to League Two then.
All right.
The Sol Campbell alarm's been sound. Macclesfield 2. Oldham won another big win for Big Sol.
Yeah, introduced himself with an upturn in form.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sol soldiers, soldier on.
They're 1 point off safety.
1 point.
Nice.
Instant impact from the big man. Oh, I'd love it. Absolutely love it. Speaking
Are
of...
Are they getting a header disallowed in every game?
I hope not.
No, that would be sad.
I hope not. What about Oldham themselves? Paul Scholes is in talks with Oldham to be their new manager. At the time of recording, it is just talks.
League Two has been amazing this weekend. I'll tell you why. Those two things you mentioned there, but also because Big Mike Dean, he refereed Lincoln v Grimsby at the weekend.
I didn't know that.
Because it was derby game. Yeah.
It was busy as well. Did he send someone off, I think? He had quite a lot to do. He's brandishing.
Of course he did.
I love Dino.
Grimsby had a man sent off, I think. Yeah. Lincoln won 1-0.
I have this recurring dream that I'm in a haunted house. And I had it at the weekend, and I was with Liz Lemon and Jack Donaghy from 30 Rock, and I've just realised Mike Dean was there as well.
Did all the nasty ghouls and whatnot turn up?
Yeah,
and
then Dean focused on him. It was great.
Dino turned out, went off your pop. And that was then gone.
Lincoln also 1-0 up in a big rivalry game.
Yeah, top of the league, Lincoln.
Yeah, Grimsby had a man sent off, of course. 1-0 up, 89 minutes to go. Bring on Big Matt Reid to close out the game.
plug a gap.
Take the ball to the channel.
Yeah.
Down to the corner flag. They literally cannot get around you.
Literally fill the goal.
Leo emailed in saying that we were treated to 8 yellow cards, one inside 2 minutes from Mike Dean, a goalkeeper sent off, a penalty appeal waved away in flamboyant fashion, and many, many two-arm advantage extensions.
That's great.
I love that.
A plethora of Deanisms.
But I love that because my favourite part of that email information about what Mike Dean's done there is you often hear...
What's Deanie's done?
Particularly back in the 90s or whatever, or the 80s or whatever, back in the day.
Mm.
Let them know you're there.
Yeah.
Mike Dean's let them know they're there with a second minute yellow.
That's right.
I'm here now.
you're dealing with the top of the tree referee here.
Lord Mayor's show is here.
Imagine running up to a coming together... On my watch.
Can imagine as well, the further down the leagues he goes, the more he has to sort of up the showbiz. So he'll be doing sort of like, you know, do you remember he celebrated when he allowed that advantage that led to a goal once? Like, he'll be doing a sort of Dennis Adoy style flip.
That would be brilliant. He's got, at some point, my only thing for Mike Dean left to do, I hope he manages to do this before he finishes his career, is to trump the great Mike Riley red card. Remember that one I told you about?
Come here, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. Off.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But Mike Riley pulled someone all the way over to the other side from the tunnel. Yeah. Come here, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. Red.
And they knew it was a red.
Yeah, and they
he wanted to, he to stamp to, his
yeah, let him know that's what's happening.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Mike Deeney, do a bit of that.
Damn right.
Where's Klatz? I miss Klatz.
Klatz.
Yeah. I think Deeney's picking up the slack a little. The Klatz, the Klatz slack.
Is stacking sky high papes in the middle of the
making mad pepper out there.
Yeah, he is stacking paper.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's open the WhatsApp group.
WhatsApp group.
You got a little jingle for that, Pete?
WhatsApp!
For God's sake!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome. As we said at the start of the
show. Open the dusty door.
It's now time to talk about Jose Mourinho. He's been hanging out with Keys and Gray and Qatar. Make what you will of that, and I'm sure you will.
I'm fairly certain that Keys and Gray were so happy to have Mourinho on a show the weekend.
Biggest show on the planet.
They didn't go back to the live football for 15 minutes so they could carry on listening to him talk, and I think they just played it in the background.
Incredible. I mean, Keys was on Twitter recently saying a lot of things, but...
Your Keys for sports?
Yeah, he was slagging off Mourinho, saying hey, he should go and all the rest of it, and then he turns up, oh, they're flipping...
Yeah.
Best pals.
Almost like he's a disgusting sycophant.
Exactly, Jimmy.
It was extraordinary.
Didn't they, wasn't there a little bit of a mistake as well where he didn't realise he was on camera and he swore at like an AP?
Yeah.
One of the most embarrassing instances of him being caught on tape without realising in his career.
You'd think he'd learn.
Yeah.
Do you know what, Jimmy? I'm not bothered about the picture, quite frankly. I just want to get on with it. Come on, let's fucking get on with it.
No, it's terrible. Right. Stop effing around. It's not even in his top five, is it?
No, it's not.
Well, on their show, and it is their show, Jose Mourinho admitted the story of him being sneaked into Stamford Bridge while serving a touchline ban for a Champions League knockout match against Bayern in 2005 was true. Now, we know the rumours about this. This was fairly... well known that Mourinho was in a laundry basket and smuggled out and so on, but he admitted it.
Yeah.
This actually happened.
Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank.
Jimmy Floyd.
That's when Mourinho was good.
See, and this is why I find this interesting. I think this is a desperate move. It's like the Simpsons in the last few years revealed where Springfield is supposed to be. It's like, never do that. This is one of those.
It is. You're absolutely right, Jim.
Up outside your ex-girlfriend's or ex-boyfriend's house talking about the good times, trying to make her convince...
Get a blaster off your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does he make you laugh? Well, the ban meant that he couldn't enter the changing room for both legs of that particular tie against Bayern. He wanted to give the team talk before the match and at halftime because at the time, Mourinho, he was the special one. You know, he certainly had got his team going and it was obviously seen as very crucial against the big side. And of course, Chelsea did progress from that tie, if I remember correctly. He said he arrived about 7 hours before the kickoff and waited in the changing room. He said, because no one was around, it was pretty easy to get in at that time. During the game, UEFA and many others, ourselves included, became a bit suspicious because one of his coaches, whose name I forget, kept sort of, he had a beanie on and he kept sort of putting his
finger. Was it Rui Faria, wasn't it?
Could have been. So there was suggesting that he had an earpiece, and another coach went to the changing room a few times, or certainly went, you know, out into the stand or the ground, and came out, you know, piece of paper, and every time he did it, like a substitution, and that were made, you know, so it was again very, very suspicious. So
Ocean's 11,
a little bit Ocean's
'cause it's 11. A touchline band, so you'd be like back. Surely you have to still present yourself. You have to be in the stadium, sort of sitting there going, this is where I am, guys.
Well, he said he wouldn't. So it was. Right. So I should have said it was a touchline ban, not a stadium ban. But of course, that meant he's not allowed near the dressing room.
Yeah.
He's basically not allowed to contact, but you can watch the game. But he said before the game, no, I'm not even going to be anywhere near it. I'm going to be watching at home. I'm going to be... So he said all
in
that.
In the hotel.
In the hotel.
Yeah. Hotel
they should have put some electronic tag on his leg just so they knew where he was. Well, maybe they will in future.
Might do that in future.
Like one of those things around his neck on Total Recall that if he goes, it blows up.
Blows up his head.
Be harsh, that.
Well, they needed to
2 weeks, Ben.
2 weeks.
They needed to get Mourinho out because UEFA officials started snooping around. So the kit man put him in the kit trolley with all the kits on top of him, closed the lid when they were coming over. And Mourinho said that he didn't have much air to breathe and he said he nearly died. Which I don't believe
that
death defying.
Can I read to
you? But it's nice to know that story is actually true. And as you said, Luke, that was when Mourinho was good.
Will he get a ban for that? You know, how
that would be
Zidane,
so good if he
Zidane
did.
Zidane is still technically banned, isn't
it? Yeah.
Like Zidane headbutted someone on the pitch. Like.
Yeah. But I mean, but you know, surely that's terrible conduct.
No, but Zidane's still banned because he quit being a footballer.
Yeah.
Mourinho's going on about, I'm getting a lot of jobs.
No, but this is what I mean.
Yeah, he's admitting something he did wrong. So, yeah.
I think he should.
I think he should be banned.
I agree.
But they shouldn't ban him until he says, oh, I'm unveiled as the new Bayern boss or whatever. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, by the way with that, Jose, you think you can outflank us?
Yeah.
House always wins, big boy.
Two-season ban.
Have you signed that? Has the ink dried?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
Two-season ban. Yeah. No pay. can I just before we finish up, read you the title of Richard Key's most recent blog entry.
Here we go. I love it. I tell you a story like that. Yeah. Reading all this of it.
I enjoyed it.
You focus on Keyes.
Yeah. I was crawling through his Twitter the whole time.
So this is Richard Keyes's blog. That's what I like about this. I mean,
your key to sports.
Yeah. There's a scene in The Office where Ryan the temp sets up a blog for who's that guy who's like he's kind of like a miscreant in The Office in the US. Creed. Creed, my favourite character on the US Office is called Creed.
It's so good you can't remember his name.
I know. And he basically sets up a blog for Creed, and he basically just sets up a Word document, and he thinks it's online. And he says, even for the internet, it's a bit extreme. It's a bit extreme.
No, Keyes is online. It is online. Okay. And his most recent blog post is called Qatar, the mighty atom that dared to dream.
That man is fucking toilet, isn't he?
He is. It's a very, very low quality.
It is extraordinary.
He is one of the worst men.
Yeah.
And men have done some bad things.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Not as bad as that.
And men should split the atom again, shouldn't they?
Yeah.
That's what they should do.
Fatberg.
In Richard Keyes'
presence. Hairy Fatberg.
There we go.
You can't go anywhere after that, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been an absolute pleasure. Of course, we'll be with you again on Thursday for the preview show. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Football Ramble's a mighty atom that dared to dream.
Say goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Jim Campbell.
It's extraordinary.
Oh, daft little show, silly podcast. Fuck off.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.